moment, but we don't remember being allowed to hold in there for a second. That's sustainable agriculture. It's the only way to get independent interest and energy and recognize the connection between women and nature and the human and nature and between all of us and it assumes that liberal economics. We are not liberal economics. We're the antithesis of that. We're moving for sustainable agriculture. That is moving, taking them out of the liberal economy. And she said, they say that we assume that Cuba is no. We assume that Cuba knows that. And they say that we perpetuate problem solving problem matters, but we never say that we necessarily solve everything or that we are completely solving the problem. We don't even know what the world necessarily looks like. We promote problem society, a division between self and other. And there's no state standards like the government currently on the display of that back. Now on the line by line proper. She says some pretty version still but something that's there. But first of all, the letter says Adam's the answer to that. Cuba is different. Sustainable agriculture will solve such arguments as the 20th year. They don't want any sort of multinational corporations to go in, which means that they're not going to do it. She answers the number 3 or 4. But her argument is that about the state center, state centers, they're all answered by the Connolly evidence. And her argument about the individual turns back to state to state action because making the individual is something that the state does. It forces us to internalize the individual. I'm not going to go for the time frame of her. And extend the Gruen evidence. This is what I have as the number 10, the dominant feminism that reifies hierarchy by ignoring nature. She says that we left the state first, but the critique definitely recognizes the intersection and doesn't know that's not true. It only recognizes that there are other kinds of oppressions, but not that they're interconnected. The case is the only way to do that. And it's just basically the number 11. The case is the kind of critique Gruber is the first argument that it doesn't mean that we don't move away from feminism. It proves that we are consistent with the critique. Second argument that Kitty Kitchen recognizes multiple oppressions, but not the interconnected, which proves that she assumes that gender is the most important, which excludes nature and her heritage hierarchy. Then, critique number 12, that the use of Zella is only reifies the hierarchy. Gruber is the first problem. There's no reason why you are not creating hierarchy when you demand that the judge reject us. Second argument is this violates the critique because it reveals its hierarchy and ensures that the critique can never reveal anything to us. Third argument is that this is contradictory to advocacy and which de-justifies the merits of critique. Fourth argument is that proves that the current solid advocate can recognize the merits of both advocacies, which is an attempt to break down a hierarchy. And it says truth, you know, 15, the isolation of Cuba reifies masculine politics. Gruber answers, first of all, the term is false. Second argument that human second argument that we must be touching, we must stop touching humans for only being touched in masculine. Third is that normalizing relations is the only way to enter gender politics, at least a step in the right direction. Fourth argument that our advocacy is still consistent with the creation to end gender politics and open up space for feminist ideologies and other types of oppressed forces. And next argument is
213.
Now. Okay, now extend the two, number, up in the wrong forum debate, wrong forum, 218, number 16, problem solution framework. First of all, no, we don't assert a top-down solution, or say that we necessarily solve. Remember, it's a process, and we're not top-down, we let them decide what's best for them. And she says we silence our discourse, but first of all, so does the critique, it silences our discourse, and says that sustainable agriculture is necessary, not as important as justice, and the debate is the dominant paradigm. You force us to vote, assert the dominant hierarchy over us, you perpetuate the harms of the pigs, your critiques are arguments prove that the term is best because the term is the best way to allow for all voices and all the same. First of all, there's no reason to vote negative except for 218 number 20. This is the first debate. Gruber answers, first of all, in the debate round, nobody's voice necessarily has to get silenced. Second argument, the critique impacts is best understood through the combination of the policy and the disease because it reveals the tension between what the criticism is critiquing, and the action of the policy, which opens up spaces for seeing the merits of the critique and the problems within it. Second argument is that the term solves best. We learn about the critique best when there is an inherent contradiction between our existing reality and the world of the critique means that the term is always the best way to truly understand the critique's support. The third argument is that the fact that the critique couldn't happen without the plan only proves that the term would be the fourth argument is the term only proves that the perpetration is the best way to solve for understanding the ambiguities, introvert connection, and contradictions in identities and experience, truth, essentialism, and eco-feminist perspective too. Fifth argument is that on-pointing attack comparison made by the Connolly evidence between the perp and the critique is much more specific and assumes both worlds. They only assume the world of the critique. And next argument is extend the line of evidence. It ultimately says that human world is anti-capitalist sustainable agriculture. Gruber answers, first argument that human sustainable agriculture model is the only one in the world that resists patriarchal capitalism and replaces with emphasis on solidarity and social movement. This enables them to defend their own voice to redetermine their own position in politics. One that is neither satisfied by the market system nor by a Western feminist criticism. These are a couple of limitations. That's the first one that turns back to these because the plan is the only way to ensure that continuation of sustainable agriculture in Cuba, which can unite social movement together. Patriarchal feminism and the patriarchal culture. Second argument is that plans is the best way to claim empowerment, which is key to resisting the patriarchy. Now extend the patriarchy argument. Three-part answer. First of all, it agrees that interdependence is key to subverting the patriarchy. And second argument, remember, plan ensures that achievement sustainable system will continue to create those interdependencies.
Do we have that Connery evidence for these
patterns?
Yeah, I only saw the first answer.
Counterplan.
Dude, you're gonna go for the MAI?
Yeah, you dropped it. Ha ha ha. No,
that was the trick the whole time.
Cookie for you. Yeah, cookie for you.
That was so awesome.
Wait, I have to keep one. Okay. Okay, anyway. Okay, we have this.
Later.
I'll explain it later.
What's his name?
It's Buah. When we're playing for the LFS, every time we got an answer right, we always went, Buah! Very weird. Okay, anyways. Guys are mean! Okay.
Way out. Way out.
I'm not making any jokes,
None. Brutality.
I don't think I can do it. Anyway, it's going to be an overview.
Should I flow on a separate piece of paper? Like, is it going to plug into my flow of the...
No, what I'm going to do is just how you might want to do it. I'm going to do an overview, like, general overview on why you vote for us, and then, like, a general overview on the top of the critique as to how I see it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get another piece of paper.
Well, it's, like, an overview reason to vote for us, and an overview... They kind of run together, but...
Put it on MAI.
Yeah. I can condense it down for you a little bit.
Yeah, that's
what we're going for. After talking.
We're inherent. You're conceding that.
You're just talking about
you. All right. Let's go.
Sarah and Helen just never come to grips with our argument that international relations is dominated by greater hierarchies and restrict assumptions. This inevitably co-opts any attempt to engage in the critique first. We must critique gender first to get at the root causes of insecurity, and the problems continue to be masked. That's the Steen's evidence, read in the 1NC and extended in the 2NC. Both negative. The Hajir evidence is conceded. We must engage in the critique so as to change the rule that has an impact on each and every one of us, and there are a lot of us in this room, and that's a reason why you prefer the negative. Now, moving on, let's specifically talk about the top of the critique and what you're looking at in this critique. There are three levels of implications of the link of why you're looking to the negative first. First, they concede the constructive engagement, the statism link. There are no answers out of this 1AR. I want no new answers out of the 2AR. At this point in time, you know that they are statists, which means that they work in the realist paradigm. Now, Kitchener says that if you never work, you can move away from the realist paradigm, you will continue in this cycle because you can never construct gender, you can never look beyond gender, and therefore, if you never look to gender, you can never move out of the public versus the private spheres, which continues the cyclical violence because you can't address the cycle of violence that occurs at the privatized brain. At that point in time, you know that they can have no solvency because they can never escape without the dominant paradigm. Secondly, they can see the economic liberalism link, which says specifically that by keep in mind what they're doing here. They say that they're not economic liberalism, but what they're doing is they're removing sanctions, which allows more free trade to come in, which essentially liberalizes their economy. Now, Kitchener says that when you allow this to happen, that allows the dominant paradigm to be replaced, and therefore by not incorporating gender at this point in time, you know that they can't break down the dominant paradigm. And then again, if you extend through the Kitchener annihilation argument at that point in time, you know that they can get no solvency, and that there's no reason why you would prefer the case. Also, extend through, and you know that the dominant paradigm argument is everything that Michael was talking about in his 1NR, which says that, and essentially, since they're working through the status framework, they're working within a dominant paradigm, and even though they think they're great and wonderful and they're fabulous, they won't be able to solve what they think they are because they're working through the dominant paradigm, which will eventually co-opt them. This is the co-option link that we're talking about specifically. At that point in time, again, they don't get to the dominant paradigm, and it's another reason why you reject them, and because they never begin at the level of the critique. Proper. Okay. Now let's see what she goes for. She says that they allow for a holistic movement and that they're including women and that they're antithesis of liberalism economics. However, specifically, you look at their case at the end of the round. Kitchener says specifically that you need to include gender into your discourse, that you need to include women. At this point in time, you know that you need to reject them because they're not specifically basically doing what Kipner does. Also, if you look, they're not the antithesis of liberal economics because it's specifically lifting sanctions, which increase free trade, which is the core of economic liberalism. They never answer that. And also extend the socialism answers that says that they specifically don't look at the private versus the public, and that social reform will never solve because it doesn't look at that level. That's, again, the Kipner evidence that I extend for you in the 2MC. At that point in time, you know that they are economic liberalism. I hear nothing coming out of this. They also say that sustainable agriculture will solve. However, again, there's no analysis because Kipner says that if you don't include gender into your analysis, that you can never solve for this. Next, they look to the Connolly evidence, and you're Connolly. Connolly just says that there are socially constructed forms, and this assumes the dominant paradigm, and this assumes now. Kipner then says, I think that Kipner preempts this by saying that we need to look through the constructually formed, and critique them. And if you allow the structures to remain as they do, then you can never solve as what Kipner says. At that point in time, I think you prefer the Kipner evidence. Next, she goes for the dominant feminist theory that otherwise, however, I read you three specific cards that say that, one, we include a multiplicity of views. Two, that Kipner says that we need to look at the fact that there are other theories and that we're not dominant. Also, I think that you can look into our advocacy in the 1MC that says specifically that we need to include a multiplicity of perspectives. At that point in time, you can see that we're definitely moving away from the dominant paradigm and that's the reason why you would prefer the negative. Next, she goes for the turn on the negative uses of the ballot. However, there's no reason. I think that this, at best for them, that this is a moot point because we're both calling for each other to be like this, to be voted against because of our discourse. But however, I think that in essence, you prefer me because we've brought up this issue. We've had a discussion about it. People in this round have learned about international feminist relations. You extend the fourth implication in the original and 1MC, and I think that that's reason enough to prefer. Also, at the point that they can see the Hajir evidence, you know the most consistent advocacy is the reason why you approve. So let's move on to the Perm and Joe White. They're not consistent with their advocacy and the reason to disprove.
The macho politics
argument. Yeah, the macho politics argument, yeah. But again, this just assumes the dominant paradigm, that they're working in the dominant paradigm that my partner was talking to you about in the 1NR that specifically said that's co-opted and that you can never move through because you don't look at the gender, but let's go into the perm debate. Cross apply the perm answers that I give to you and the 2NR that specifically says that at the point that they perm and they go for the perm that proves the critique because they recognize that you need to critique. Also, you look at the evidence in the Hajir where you compare the rhetoric of the 1NC versus the AC and you know that we're more consistent because keep in mind, they're recognizing the need for a critique. That shows the justification for my consistent advocacy. Also, they go for Connolly, but again, cross apply what I said before, that Connolly is just looking at social reforms which remain the same. Vote negative.
There will be another. And like she has this overview, and I guess I'm gonna answer it. Put it there.
I'm so confused with the overviews. Which overview? I have
overviews. Okay, she has one overview that she is like, she called her general overview. You called it MAI.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to answer that.
Okay.
And then she had talked about the three levels.
Right.
I thought that one was critique.
Me too.
Okay, I'm going to go there.
Okay.
Yay!
Proliferation of overview. Okay. I have my own.
Yeah. Where should we put
okay.
That?
So what I'm going to do is okay. Well, cool. I'll get over much more. All right. I'm going to answer her, and then I'm just going to go break down what she did.
We should do an overview.
Yeah. That'll be an overview of why.
Look, I'll write it all down, and then we'll figure it out after.
If that works for you, that's cool.
We should do an overview.
Yeah. That assumes that one always gets to the bottom.
We will get to the bottom, I promise.
You promise?
I promise. In fact, we should go to the bottom up.
Now that assumes I'm not being
different. But I will. You just pass it off. Where do you want to be?
Oh. To it, come on. Two and a half, okay. Okay, Alan. She says we don't come to grips with her argument, but I'm sorry, she's sorely mistaken. They don't come to grips with ours. She says that you have to critique first and that's why you vote for them. This is her big argument in the overview, but that's blatantly not true. Our evidence, the Connolly evidence, indicates that you have to critique at the same time because the critique itself
itself is incomplete unless you're critiquing with the policy. I'm going to explain that on the Connolly debate. She says that we dropped the esteemed evidence that says that in the 1MC, but I think that we're answering that. We're not dropping the evidence. Our argument is that you can't just critique alone without the policy to juxtapose off of the critique in order to expose the inconsistencies that will further the critique, further than they take it or their evidence takes it. She says we dropped the your evidence. You have to engage in the critique, and there are lots of people in the room, and then we'll all learn from it. But listen, the critique wouldn't happen if we didn't have the plan. We have a plan to critique. You all learn because we talk about the juxtapositions of the plan versus the critique. They don't ever come at the same time. That's the permutation. They don't ever come to grips with that argument, the critique proper, where she says that there are three levels. She says that we don't come to grips with the statism argument, but the Connolly evidence answers this back and says that the tension between the state opposition and the critique is the best way to reveal the critique without the permutation. Either the critique on the policy or the policy will maintain dominance and isolate itself from criticism, which reifies dominance and hierarchy of ideas and ensures oppression, turns back the critique, and at the same time gives us the only way to solve. She says that we only continue the cycle, that we can never move beyond the cycle, but that's nihilistic. And the firm will expose the inconsistencies and move the critique further. Remember, we don't ever claim to solve. That's important. We don't claim to know because we can't. We don't know what the outcome of the exploration of the juxtapositions between the critique and the plan will be, but we do know it's a more comprehensive criticism than the criticism that they offer. Her third argument is that we drop the economic liberalization argument, but they don't answer our Tickner argument at the bottom. Levis argues that sustainable agriculture has led to a greater knowledge for the interdependencies and the importance of interdependencies. The Tickner evidence we read says that the interdependencies is key to recognizing interdependencies is key to overcoming hierarchies. Another reason why our ecofeminism argument, it might be Gruen evidence, that they don't respond to in the 2NR is actually better. I'm going to get there below. She says that the state will always be the dominant paradigm, but we won't be able to solve because we will be co-opted, we'll reject them. But we say we don't claim to solve. We don't claim to know what the world looks like afterwards, and we'll co-opt us because it's our discourse in this debate round. If that's true, that means that debate will always co-opt their criticism. The institution of the debate forum will always co-opt their criticism. You have to have the plan in order to have the criticism. Then she, which is why the term is the best, she says that she answers Helen's 1AR argument that she says, Tickner says you have to include women, but we don't include women. We don't, that's not a reason to reject, and we don't know the implication of this. The criticism that occurs within the permutation will expose these implications. She says we must think that will increase free trade, but that's a started, and we argue that Cuba will resist that the Zeus evidence. She says that extend the socialism evidence, but extend that Cuba rejects the bipolar mentality, that there's communism and capitalism, there's something different in the middle. She says that sustainable, she says that if Tickner doesn't include, if we don't include gender, sustainable agriculture can never solve. But remember, we don't play to solve, only to offer a better criticism. She says Connolly says that socially constructed form, but yes, that means we expose social constructions of gender, which is something that they don't do. And she says that Tickner says we have to critique, but we say you have to critique. But the critique is incomplete without the plan. She says we can never solve, but we don't plan to solve. Only explode now. Extend the Gruen evidence. 2AC number 10. She group her answer. She doesn't answer Helen's argument that they might include different perspectives, but they don't recognize the interconnectedness of sameness and difference juxtaposed off each other. Now go to the Connolly debate number 20. Too many overviews. The fact that the plan and the critique exist in the same world in this debate creates a certain tension that allows the critique to fit civic to their discourse arguments, and it's within the public discourse that we can engage in ambiguities of seemingly incommensurate policies, which enables us to see the paradoxes within our discourse. The Connolly evidence indicates that the discourse that we create allows us to shift and to unsettle those ideas, and it shows that the critique can still exist these ideas, and that means that they don't get any inbound implications to discourse, because the discourse doesn't cycle the critique or even make it worse. Rather, and the discourse enables it to work, and exerting primacy of the critique over our counter-criticism of the solidarity created by sustainable agriculture. This is the Levis evidence only serves to reinforce the hierarchy of ideas. The permutation is the only way to reveal and resist the oppressive forces of this totalizing ideals and ideas. Remember, she doesn't have an answer to the Levis evidence or the Tickner evidence in the 2NR. This proves that there is no link, that there's no link. And the fifth argument Helen makes about the Connolly evidence in the 1AR is that the impact comparison made by the Connolly evidence between the perm and the critique is much more specific, because it's the only evidence that assumes the world of the plan and the critique together. No answer.
critique opposes together simultaneously yield the best, most in-depth discussion. And that's a, I guess, a better way of changing minds. Now, I almost feel like I don't know if I'm voting for that idea, but either of you could have said it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I think it's because you all, like, it becomes I initiated this debate, therefore I should win. That's part of your decision analysis becomes, we started the talk, so we should win the debate, which I think is kind of trivial and probably not the best way to ever win a debate round, but that idea is what clinches it for me, and
okay. Since
you all read it.
And additionally, I think that the Gruen evidence is pretty good, saying that you need to look at gender, true, but you need to look at it, in conjunction with other things, that you can't just look at it first. And I look to your answer with the Tinkner evidence as to why you would look at gender first, and maybe there's other cards, but like the ones that you give me don't give me a good enough response to the Gruen evidence that says that you create an additional hierarchy by saying that if you just, like, the idea that you look to gender before anything else without juxtaposing gender with things like nature, that you're creating the same hierarchy, right? That you're just falling into the same trap. And I don't understand why your Tinkner evidence preempts that. And the Connolly evidence, I think, is pretty good in that respect, too. And I don't think that when you're saying that Tinkner critiques Connolly's use of social construction, I just don't see that in the evidence. I don't see that in the Tinkner evidence. Maybe I'm misreading it, and this is, like, a really hard subject. But I don't see that in the evidence. So I think that at the level that they're making the argument that you just create new hierarchies that are just as oppressive as the ones that you hope to topple with your critique, I don't understand how you get out of that. And I don't think Hajir's, and additionally, I don't think Hajir gets you out of why you can't perm and why you have to look at that, the idea of gender first, because in reading the Hajir card, he said that you need to, in reading that card, I don't understand why the permutation is not legitimate. Okay?
What about the argument that says that, like, Hajir forces you to look at the 1 in C discourse versus the 1 in AT discourse?
Their argument is that I don't see that as clearly articulated in the card as I think you articulated.
Okay.
Secondly, their argument is that that paradigm that you look just to gender, like, because encompassed in that argument that you look at the 1 MC discourse versus the 1 AT discourse is the idea that you look at our gendered discourse, right? The idea of introducing gender. And I think that what they argue is that that juxtaposition, okay, is itself hierarchical. And I don't see an answer to that second level. I don't think Hajir alone wins you. I think your argument would need to be Hajir in conjunction with Tinkner wins the debate. And their argument is that Gruen in conjunction with Connolly trumps that.
Okay.
I think one of our best arguments against this, too, is the original Dean Bellinger in the 1 in C, which talks about if you continue working in the dominant framework, it necessarily co-ops and voices and perspective. Because we don't ask the right questions, and it's more like an afterthought, and that's why we...
But why is it that if you consider it in juxtaposition with the policy, that's true? Right? Doesn't that assume that we do the policy and then use it as an afterthought?
No, it just seems that we try to do it together. Like, I think, personally, you don't think that's what the evidence does.
Not together, but I think it says when you don't acknowledge, feminist perspectives, or gender... the lack of gendered perspective,
right,
in these policies, that it makes the policy bad.
In addition, I don't think that comes out as clearly as you're making it now in the 2 and R. I don't get that story. Okay. It was a hard round to flow in.
Yeah.
I don't get that story.
Okay.
I get the look to Hajir. Story, look to gender first, and that's the only way I answer the perm, is the Hajir and Tinkner is the only answer I get on the permutation.
Right.
Correction
okay.
of the debate. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any questions?
No. I would like to hear it on. Yeah.
I mean, they pretty much sum up every point. I don't see any reason for why.
Shut the door. You can
like,
open it.
I saw no tension with the phone. I see no reason why there has to be a personal analysis of gender if it's not done that we must reject. And first of all, they're reading evidence, a little bit of evidence actually saying that, you know, it's even better to have that, like, even better to use these independent channels to address the issue in the first place. And I think the story, saying that critique isn't very significant without plan. And they have to, you know, we have to analyze it concurrently.
Okay. Cool.
I think it's very convincing.
So, aside from the permutation, I mean, Myron, you said, like, you think that we're strong in the link argument. I guess, Ryan, Chet, like, what do you think?
So, yes. Outside of the curve, like, where we wouldn't, like, the link debate.
I think you're winning the link debate. And I think I have questions for you. Like, I don't understand the whole, like, why... I think the link debate is pretty clear. I read your evidence, the one that you gave me, as to like how you try to break out of the socialist debate. And I think their argument about the whole framework of realist conception assumes that. So I think the link debate loses. I don't understand why, and this is just probably my ignorance, but I just don't get the whole, like, we don't claim solvency argument. And I don't understand how that plays out in this debate.
I don't think that we claim to know what, like, our argument is not that we don't claim to solve, but that we don't claim to know exactly what the world looks like. We claim that Cuba needs to make it through the transition, and that the rest of the world should make that transition. But after that, like, I don't know if that's capitalism or socialism or...
the predefined solution that
right.
was already set out.
So,
we just say we need change.
So that's a link answer, right?
Right.
But what? But there's still realism built into that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, but our argument is that we wouldn't, like, since we move away from that framework and don't
define
the predefined solution.
Yeah, and it's, I don't think it's a completely different thing
at all.
But what about their argument that like, when you try to break out, it just makes it worse? Like, when you try to say, oh, but we're working in a different framework, it just masks that.
Yeah.
I don't get this argument.
I don't understand.
That
co-option is a compelling argument. Like, I don't think that we have evidence or good arguments in this debate that answer that back outside
that's
of why we
the other firm.
And that's why
we
come into this debate
for the 1AR is that we're going for the firm.
Yeah.
Like, that's
no, I understand that. I'm just trying to understand for myself.
Yeah.
What,
yeah. I don't,
other,
and
I don't get it.
And it's an argument, it's an attempt, right?
Okay.
Maybe
that
in conjunction with
right.
a bunch of other arguments
okay.
that might win us the debate, but
okay.
no way. Yeah.
I just personally, when you say we don't conceptualize the world past plan, I think inherently then you would assume that it would be a positive end state, which, I mean, or else you wouldn't advocate, right?
Well, right.
I'm thinking about this, you know, when I'm making my decision, but not really. It just seems that their argument is, like, that failure to conceptualize is also a failure to acknowledge the assumptions that the initial action is based
mm-hmm.
upon.
And
I think it's almost more egregious when you say we don't care what happens to them.
Right.
I mean, you're not really saying that
right.
when you say I don't care.
I think the argument that I, like, the way more, like, if that argument were, like, the focus of the debate, the argument that we would be making is we have evidence that says that right now, we are at this period of time, we are entering a transition away from the status quo realist, like, market capitalist, northern, you know, Eurocentric model, but that we're unsure, but that we don't really realize that we're in that transition, and we're unsure of what that transition is and what that transition is moving into, but that we have an option that transition can be difficult or it can be easy. And I don't make this argument in the debate. And we have evidence that says that transition will occur over the next 50 years, and if we make the right decisions now to try and make that transition sustainably and to try and make that transition more easy with less hierarchy and less privilege, that
that we will be able to do, that the transition will be easier. And if we don't do that and we maintain the status quo, grow, you know, forge forward, then we'll be doomed to like 500 years of hell and like wars, reoccurring wars, shit like that. And that's a really ambiguous argument. It's really like totally ambiguous argument.
And on the opposite side, like, you guys need to figure out like how these pieces of evidence like work together, because like at some point, I mean, Tinkner is at some level, when she's saying we need to examine international relations in terms of gender, why is that not an epistemological claim?
Yeah, I mean,
like, when you're reading evidence that says we need to reject, like, the first link level is they're making a realist epistemological claim, it strikes me as a lot of your evidence does, too.
Yeah, I think Tinkner argues that, I mean, we can all recognize that, like, our reality is socially constructed.
Right.
But what we should attempt to do is broaden our horizon and realize that there are multiple ways of viewing the world, and that...
Why don't they do that?
Realism, what?
Why don't they do that?
Well, I mean, we...
Why doesn't that just take... Why can't they just stand up and go, exactly, that's what we do, we just do it in a different way?
Well, I mean, our argument would be that we need to begin... It goes back to that we need to begin with gender, and that gender would be...
But then why even make the epistemological... Why read those cards?
Because those cards prove why, like, the current dominant framework of international relations is necessary.
No, the epistemological claim. Like, why do you read the epistemological links when a lot of your authors are making epistemological claims?
I guess, well, it's the argument that we don't, like, it prevents us from asking the right questions in the first place. It just continues to accept international relations.
I think there's an inherent tension there, though.
See, I think that Tinkner is, I think that it's easy to assume that she's making an epistemological claim, but I think that she's still problematizing that, and that we necessarily assume it's epistemological, but that's only because we're stuck within the dominant framework. And if we could reconceive of what she's saying, like, it's something different, but we don't know exactly what it is, but we're defining it as that because that's the only linguistic construct that we have to define it in.
And that's uncomfortable, and so we divert that to...
But then I don't see why you do it any worse than they did.
Right. No. And in fact, so they argue that we should look to gender first, which is the hierarchy argument that you're talking about.